Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call of Deutsche Konsumgüter AG. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Mr. Ergetti, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your time and interest in Deutsche Konsum and its H1 numbers that we've published this morning. You have probably seen that we have an updated results presentation on our website. In case you haven't, please feel free to go to our website, deutsche-konsum.de. There is the H1 results presentation, and I may refer to one or two slides to it. I suggest we do it as usual. I'll make a very brief opening statement, just highlight four or five slides of the presentation, and then there will be plenty of time for you to ask any questions you may have. Of course, the entire team is here and ready to take questions also after the call via email, whatever makes you feel comfortable. Just starting with the presentation briefly on page four on the highlights of what has happened. I mean, the general gist of the results is that we're fully on track with everything, and everything's very stable. I apologize in advance if one or two things may sound quite boring. First, on the portfolio side, we have acquired more properties of over 120 million. Now, that's relevant, I think, for two reasons. I think firstly, it's the fact that we still are able to acquire assets in our target segment, sort of, and 120 million in 6 months is a very respectable number for a company of our size, I think. If anything, that's more than what we've guided to in the past. The second thing worth noting is the average yield at which we are buying, which is 9.1%. Admittedly, there were years in our company's history where we acquired at 10%, but still 9%, I think, is a very high number, given that the asset class is very, very sought after and that more and more institutional investors are pouring into this asset class. I think it's really important to stress that we are still able to source assets at a 9%+ initial yield. Also, let me highlight the fact that our acquisition pipeline is still very nicely filled. We have sold one asset in the first half. It's not a huge asset, but it's just to show you here that we sold an asset at a yield of 4.5%, which is an asset that we acquired at a yield of 9.7% before. Capital recycling is not a necessary ingredient to our company strategy, but it's a nice thing, I think, add-on. Second point, our operations are strong. The rental income is up by 32%, and I may refer you to the next page number five, actually, which makes this point very nicely. The rental income, so year-on-year, is up 32%. Crucially, the FFO is up by more. Our FFO has risen by 33%, so we have had a 1-point margin expansion, which is not huge, but it's nice. It's always important that the bottom line grows faster than the top line. Much more important is, of course, that the number of shares year-on-year has only increased by 10%, not the 32% that the rental income has increased. We have delivered year-on-year in the first half a 21% FFO per share growth. If you look at the AFFO, so post CapEx, that growth is even 34%, albeit that may be less relevant given the volatility in our CapEx programs. In terms of the cash flow returns per share, we're showing strong growth and are as accretive as we were before. Looking at the balance sheet, just very, very quickly, just like to highlight that we our interest cover is over 7x EBITDA. That, of course, is a very, very strong number. We have temporarily increased the LTV to 55%, which we feel in theory is very conservative, but some of you may feel that this is high. I'd like to reassure you at this point that this number will come down for two reasons. First, we have an interesting pipeline of assets that we may sell at significant premium to book values, by the way, of course. And secondly, we have the revaluation of the assets coming up for the next quarter. And since our current valuation in our balance sheet is just a little over 12 times rent, and the market being trading sort of at the 17, 16, 18 or whatever sort of rent multipliers, we expect significant revaluations. So don't let yourself be frightened by an LTV of 55%. This will reassert itself in the next quarter. If you look at our sort of debt picture, we'll give you more detail later in a second. We have taken new secured debt at even below 1% in one case, and our average cost of debt has come down again to below 1.9%. And lastly, we are reconfirming our guidance of an FFO between 42 and 45 million euros for the current fiscal year ending in September. And I think much more importantly, will be the FFO run rate, which we have guided to be being between 47 and 51 million euros by September this year. And again, we are confirming that number as well. If you flick through the presentation, you will see the acquisitions on page 8 and the most recent and bigger one on page 9. I don't want to run through the details because at the end of the day, they're all quite similar. We have the retail anchor. We are around the 10% yield number. I'd just like to draw your attention to page number 11, where we give you some key stats for the entire portfolio. And I'd like to draw your attention to, I think, the most important one. It's not the most important one per se, but it's the most important one for anyone sort of judging our business model, which is the WALT, the weighted average lease term, which you can see here has gone up from 5.4 to 5.7 years. Now, just to put this into context, in theory, it's completely irrelevant whether it's 5.4 or 5.7, but the point is a different one. The point is that our business model, of course, rests on the case that we acquire at the high yields that we can for one key reason, and the reason is that we accept shorter lease terms. And so the one risk that we take is lease extension risk, and therefore it is, of course, extremely crucial, I think, for us and for you to see that the weighted average lease term is at least not going down, because obviously this is kind of the half-year comparison. I mean, if we don't extend any lease, then of course the 5.4 weighted average lease term you see here by September 2020, that would have become obviously 4.9, but it hasn't. It's at 5.7, and I think this is important to see that that we still keep extending the leases, and also of course at rent levels that are sensible, which you can also see here. But the key point is, so we keep extending the leases, firstly generally, and secondly in spite of the COVID-19 environment. Then, speaking of the COVID-19 environment, we have sort of added a new slide here on page 13, which shows you the rent collection, which has oscillated between 94 and 99% as of late, and is now at around 98%. I think, given that about sort of 20%-ish of our tenants are in theory, or not just in theory, in some cases, sort of affected by the on and off lockdowns that we have in Germany. If you have been following this in detail, the lockdown has been on and off and has been different for the various parts of Germany. So about 20%-ish of the tenant base has in theory been affected, but the rental collection rate is around the 98% levels. We may be sort of nice guys vis-a-vis one or two of those tenants when it comes to negotiating these the current situation going forward. But as I said, for now, the rental collection is, I think, very, very healthy. On page 14, you can see that the tenant base has been expanded again. And the key point that we always like to stress, that we sort of have the same tenant again and again across the portfolio, that's of course growing nicely, and clearly we're gaining sort of cloud and sort of relationship significance, let's put it this way, with our key tenants, and that's very important. You see in terms of the lease expiry on the right-hand side of this chart, this is still fairly evenly spread, and there's nothing worth mentioning, which again, I think is reassuring. On page 15, just to again put the valuation into context, if we look at where the shares are currently trading, and if you calculate backwards what that means that our share price currently implies a yield of 6.9%. Again, for reference, we're buying at about 9% yield, and we've been selling at 4.5, which of course explains the small premium to the NAV that we have. If we're looking at the financing side, there's not much new here. You basically can see that there's almost nothing in terms of loan expiries this year, which is a bit of a shame because we are able to refinance at lower cost of debt. And you can see this in the table, how the various interest rates have moved over the last 6 months. Just to highlight a few, the total cost of debt is coming down by 2 basis points, which is in particular due to the loan, so the bank loan cost of debt coming down. We have been adding sort of liquidity buffers in terms of unsecured debt, which is explaining why the total debt cost has fallen less than the bank loan debt. But I guess that's probably neither here nor there. Then you have the usual, the financial, the math. We're happy to take any questions if you have any. Otherwise, they're self-explanatory. And then I'll stop here to say that that we are reconfirming our guidance, as you would have expected. And then I also would like to draw your attention to our latest ESG report. You see some highlights of that in the presentation. I'm happy to go through any of these, I think I won't do it now because they're pretty self-explanatory as well. So I'll stop here, and very happy to take any questions you may have.
Dear ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin our question and answer session. If you have any questions for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask the question. If you find your question is answered before it is your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. A moment, please, for the first question. The first question is coming in from Nicholas Lyle from Stanman Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Rolf.
Morning.
I just want to ask you on slide 19, you make a note on the balance sheet regarding to the assets and where you guide that the pro forma portfolio is currently 930 million, including the latest acquisitions. Is that, are those additional assets already accounted for in the increased debt that you have on the right-hand side?
No. I mean, the assets, so the delta between the balance sheet and pro forma is coming from two things. So firstly, it's those assets that have closed since balance sheet cutoff date and now. And secondly, those assets that have not been closed at all. And the pro forma numbers include everything that has been notarized. So signed but not closed. And in Germany, sort of between signing the notarial deeds and actually closing the deals, there can be a time delay, I think. You know, it's very unusual to take less than 2 months. Normally it's 3 months, but in the current environment, sometimes it takes 4 or even 5 months if some of the authorities work a bit slowly. And that's the key delta. So anything that's pro forma but not balance sheet has not been accounted for on the balance sheet at all. So neither for the assets nor for the liabilities.
So Okay, so that's, yeah, so that's, I'm just trying to understand. So if I calculate the pro forma NAV for these latest acquisitions, am I adding the 60 million in the assets and I have to add another, how much on the debt?
Well, you would, for the pro forma NAV, you would simply, in the first step, add the exact amount as well on the debt side, because the way it would work, we would pay out of cash. So then the net cash would reduce, and therefore the net debt would go up. And then later we would refinance, and then the debt would go up, and of course cash as well. So it wouldn't change the NAV, but it would change the LTV.
I just want to know, sort of, as of today, pro forma, because you've inserted the pro forma assets, but you haven't then made a note on the pro forma debt for those additional assets. But I just wanted to clear that up. So basically, we would have to add 60 on either side of the balance sheet, right?
Correct. Yep.
Okay. Great. And then on slide 15, where you show, you know, where the potential implied yield on the share price.
Mm-hmm.
That pro forma portfolio that you've got there with the annualized rent of 72.3, that's pro forma all the additional acquisitions, right? Not just the additional 60 million that's not in the balance sheet.
Yeah, so that's everything that we have notarized, including those that are not in the balance sheet, and actually excluding those that we have sold as well, which of course is a tiny amount.
Yeah, okay, so it's just a little bit confusing because, you know, on your first, on page four, you're talking about an additional 120 million of acquisitions, but then in your pro forma balance sheet, you're only showing an extra 60. So that's why, so basically the 73.3 relates to the 930, which includes the 120, is that right?
Correct, correct, yeah.
Okay.
That's correct.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Fine, okay, that makes sense. And, okay, you're happy with that. Okay, thanks for that.
Pleasure.
The next question is coming from Stefan Bodnagel from Metzler Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Good morning from my side. I have two questions. The first one is if you see certain reluctance on the tenant side with regard to lease extension or the rental of vacant spaces. And the second question is on the assets you mentioned you may want to sell. Can you give an indication of the volume or the share of your total rents which you want to sell to interested guys?
Yeah. So on your first question, the short answer is no. We're not seeing any reluctance to extend leases or renegotiate rents. And that's because there's some numbers in the appendix of the presentation, and as I'm sure you've seen industry reports, I mean, basic retail, basic sort of, to be precise, basic offline retail has actually had a record year last year in Germany. Because, I mean, they've been open all along and are still open. Plus, of course, in the environment where some guys, you know, a food retailer was open and discretionary retail was not, surprise, surprise, like every supermarket had added all sorts of non-food items all of a sudden. So they've had a record year and they're doing well. And therefore, and as you can also see from our increase in the weighted average lease term, that there's no reluctance there whatsoever. This is really a black and white answer. I mean, there's completely no. In terms of the asset sales, it's really difficult to say, and I just want to be clear. I don't want to guide to this, and I don't want to promise anything. We have seen sort of inbound inquiries and reverse inquiries by market participants, and it's really tricky to say what we will actually end up selling. I mean, we are completely agnostic. I mean, we're not emotionally married to any of our assets, and if someone offers a high price, we will sell it. My best guess today is that we might end up sort of in the 50 to 70 million euros sort of transaction volume level. But crucially, that's of course a much lower number relative to the book value, because we would sell at significant premium to the book values only. I think typically I would expect us to consider sort of bids between, say, 17 and 20, 22 times rent, depending on what it is. So if you take the 50 million number and just for easy math's sake, let's divide this by 20, then we're talking of possibly losing 2.5 million of rent. So that will be sort of FFO-wise a drop in the ocean. But in terms of capital recycling that could be reinvested and or be reducing the LTD, of course, it might be significant, which of course is why we are contemplating it.
Yeah, understand. So that was really helpful. Thanks.
The next question is coming from Manuel Martin from Otto BHF. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, Rolf. Two questions from my side. The first question is, maybe we take them one by one. First question is on possible valuation results next quarter you're going to have your portfolio valuation. And last year, the valuation gains were rather subdued. Do you have any feeling or outlook what could happen this year?
Yeah, I mean, the strict answer is no. We have no strong feeling, but I would expect a much stronger valuation result than last year, because last year was the beginning of the COVID-19 crisis and there was big uncertainty. I think now it's clear that not only has the asset class been resilient, but actually it's been more sought after and market comparables are really, really strong. You see portfolios trading sort of between 18 and 22 times rent, and our assets are valued at slightly under 13 times rent. So I'd really be surprised if there isn't a significant increase, but we will find out.
Okay. Second last question on your portfolio tenants. You said that roughly 20% of your tenants might be affected by COVID-19. Could you give us some flavor on the situation of these tenants? Are they desperate or are they happy that it would open soon? And have you made some provisions which you might then eliminate? What's the situation more or less on that?
Well, the situation is better than one might think. And I must admit, I'm pleasantly surprised by it, because actually many of the guys that are technically closed are still open for click and collect. And therefore, you know, the arguments for reducing rent or giving rental holidays are rather low. And also many of the guys like hairdressers, hotly debated sector. I mean, you know, they are now open if you have a negative test. So when we say affected, doesn't mean they're closed. So the rental collection rate of 98% plus is actually showing a strong picture. And so we're now looking, I think, in an even better shape than we were at the beginning of the COVID-19 crisis.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, if you want to ask our speakers a question, please dial 01 to enter the queue now. There seem to be no further questions. For closing remarks, I'll get back to the speakers.
Great. Well, thanks again, everyone, for your time and interest. And as I said, if you have any follow-up questions or were too shy to ask them now, we're happy to take them anytime. My team and myself, please feel free to contact, email us, whatever suits best. Thanks again for your time and confidence and trust. Thanks a lot.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.